Well, praise the Lord. I want to go back and talk about one of these stories I was reading through the Old Testament. It's just interesting how these stories are tucked away back in the historical documents of the Old Testament. But it actually brings about a New Testament principle, and you'll see this here in a little bit. But I titled this Eyes Open, mainly because there were two instances where Elisha, this is the he was the servant of Elijah. So Elisha also saw Elijah go up into the heavens in a whirlwind of fire, and he and the mantle fell upon Elisha. And Elisha basically asked for a double portion of the spirit that Elijah had, and so he had all these exploits, which are very interesting. So this one, coming out of 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 8, it says this. So this is something that's not new. So the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. So here you have this constant warring that's going on with Israel from other countries, and in this case, it's Syria. They're just constantly back and forth at each other. And so this king has made a plan, and he says, you know what? I'm going to set up camp right over here in this place, and I'm going to attack Israel. Well, the thing is, when you have a prophet like Elisha, you can make all the plans you want, because it said, and the man of God, this being Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, in other words, sent him a message. He said, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither or there the Syrians are come down. So you have a prophet that God can speak to. It's almost like in having your personal bug in this Syrian king's place, to where you know everything he's saying. And this is interesting. So Elisha is warning the king of Israel. And he goes on. Of course, the king of Israel, there's an old saying, it's called trust and verify. You know, when somebody tells you something, you trust it, but you want to confirm it. And the king of Israel sent to the place. What place? That place that he warned him about, which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. It's an interesting way of wording, but it basically means it happened again. Elisha saved the king of Israel not once nor twice, but multiple times the king of Israel has been saved from this prophet, or from the king of Syria. By way of this prophet. And so what happened, the king of Syria, boy, he's getting upset now, because he says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled. Not that he was sad, but he was upset for this thing. Because here he makes these plans, and they fail, because you've got a prophet warning. But so what he did, he called all his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He figured he had a spy. You know, I don't know if you've been watching the news where they talk about all these whistleblowers. You know, you got people in place, sometimes for the good and oftentimes for the bad. They're not who they say they are. They're actually spying out the things you're doing so that they can run off and tell the opposition. Well, in this case, the king of Syria thinks there's a spy in the midst, and he wants to root him out. So he's basically saying, I want to know which one of you guys is for the king of Israel. Because, hey, that's an automatic death sentence. But then one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, that rascal, Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. That ought to give all of us pause, because God knows everything that happens. Now, we don't like to think about that. I know Eddie has mentioned several times, he said he used to get real nervous when they'd say they sing some song. I don't know that I've heard it, but he's called that All Seeing Eye, Watching You, Watching You. he said inside he would be going, oh my goodness, you know. Well, it's the truth. There is an All Seeing Eye. His name is God Almighty. He watches everything, and he can tell it to someone else. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's the truth. It's the truth that God is watching. But here's the thing. God can tell it to the prophet and anybody who is a prophet that God speaks to. So anyway, he's foiling all these plans that this king of Syria makes. And so what happens is, now that he knows, the king knows who it is, he gets mad enough and he says, go and spy where he is, talking about Elisha. I want to know where Elisha is, that I may send and fetch him. Well, that's an interesting word. It means he's going to catch him and kill him. He wants to get him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Now, a lot of us, I didn't even remember the importance of Dothan. Dothan is not a very big city. It's not a very prominent place. But interesting things happen in Dothan. If you recall, when Joseph went to look for his brothers, they were in Dothan. Now, unfortunately for him, for Joseph, they captured him because they saw that coat of many colors that his father, of course, lavished on him. And they saw him coming from a long ways, and they made plans that they were going to capture him and kill him. Of course, the wiser of the bunch, they said, well, wait a minute, let's just sell him. You know, why kill him and not make any profit over it? Can you imagine your brothers? So here you are in a pit, probably a dry well, a well that's done dried up, and your brothers are up there. And by the way, it says they were eating, and he was down there crying his heart out. There's a place where it says that. It said his heart was just crying out. And they were just sitting up there eating, talking about what they're going to do with him. You know, sad, but that's what happened. But what happens here is pretty interesting in that, so think about this. So the king of Syria, therefore sent he thither, there, horses and chariots and a great host after one man. He sent, I don't know if you realize this, but a host is thousands of soldiers. It ain't just a few. It's thousands. They sent this great host, and they came by night. You know, military operations usually happen at night. And so they circled the city. They compassed the city. That's what it says. They compassed the city about. So they snuck in there late at night. That's usually how you can get thousands of people. And then the next morning, when the servant of the man of God, again, that's Elisha, was risen early, and he had gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city both with horses and chariots, all for one man. It's like sending the huge SWAT team out for one little guy. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, what are we going to do? He's panicking. He don't know what's going on. They're out there, and he feels confident that they're going to kill him and kill his master. What are we going to do, he says. Well, God has other plans. Of course, Elisha, and I love this, Elisha is just calm and cool and collective, and he looks at his servant, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now put yourself in this servant's shoes. Here he is serving Elisha, and here's this probably scrawny little dude, you know, sitting beside him, and he's looking at him, and he's looking beside him other way, and there's nobody. And he's thinking, this man's done flipped his lid. He's gone off the deep end, because he's saying, we got more people than they do. And this guy's sitting there looking, out at this major host of an army. Here's the thing. Eyes open, and Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see." Now, this is interesting to me because Elisha could already see it. He knew it. "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." This was God's army. And the fact that God's army, yes, there are way more. Now, this brings an interesting question. At least it does to me. What? Is that the case for everybody? I just mentioned Joseph. We never hear, never read that Joseph ever saw something like this. We never read that Joseph actually heard the voice of God. Yes, he did help him interpret dreams, but we don't read that God actually spoke to Joseph directly. But here in the same place, we have all these hosts of chariots and horses, horses and chariots of fire all around. It's my contention that God has people watching over, angels, watching over all of us. I know some people think we have a personal guardian angel. I don't know about that. I don't know that we have an assigned angel. We might. But I think there's angels round about watching all of us. I have a hard time believing that the Lord has just simply put all of us out here, hang us out to dry. I just can't believe that. I really don't. Now, if we had our eyes open, I think our hearts would not be able to take it to see the fighting that's probably going around right now in this very room, the fighting that's probably going on with the good and evil. And I remember reading a story where these missionaries went to, I want to say it was in Africa, but I'm not sure. There was a tribe that they went to be a missionary to. And it turned out that this tribe had killed the previous missionary before. So when this missionary got there, of course, he's concerned. And so the tribe shows up and they call for this guy to come out. They're going to kill him. So he does. He comes out of his hut, whatever it is, and he stands there. He's helpless. He doesn't know what to do. And they just stand there. They just stand looking around, not doing anything. They're just looking. And so the tribe goes away. They just walk away. And they come back the next night, do the same thing, call the guy out, because they want to kill him. That's what they're wanting to do. And they're just standing there looking at each other, not doing anything. And they leave, and that happens two or three nights in a row. And of course, the man is perplexed. He has no idea what's going on. And then eventually, he goes back to the United States, and he has a service to where he, at his church that he came from as a missionary, he goes back to his church and he gave that testimony. Well, the pastor had some discernment, and he says, "Well, wait a minute, when did this happen?" And the guy confirmed the date that it happened. And so what the pastor did, he said, "Well, we had a leading to pray for you." And so he asked the people who had come to the church to pray for him to stand up. And there were 12 men who stood up in the church and said, "Yes, we prayed for this pastor." Well, when he went back to the place in Africa where he was a missionary, he had asked one of the tribal leaders, because by the way, by this time he was making some inroads and with the gospel, and he asked the tribal leader, "Well, why didn't you attack?" He said there were 12 giant men with swords blocking his path, guarding him. At the same time, these 12 men were praying for the pastor. And like I said, every time they came, they wanted to kill the missionary, but there were always 12. make of it what you will, but when I hear that kind of a story, I'm thinking, wow, this is just incredible what God can do. And the fact is, it's not new. This is something he does. He has angels surrounding all his children. And so the thing is, we have to, this is a good lesson for us, because a lot of us are blind to the fact that God is more powerful than any enemy out there. And so here we continue on. So now the young man, the servant, can see. So here's what happened. In verse 18, he says, "And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord," here we go again, "and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." Not only can God open the eyes, he can close them. And God, remember, this is not a small army. This is a host. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And I tell you, Elisha, this is one of a great lesson for us. Now, I don't always know when God will do something. I heard one pastor say, you just can't always, never, sometimes tell. And I always love that line, because God is God. He does what he wants to. But he answered Elisha's prayer. He blinded the entire host. And we're, you know, you think about this. Thousands, not just a few, blind people with weapons of war. Now they don't know what to do. And then it says here in verse 19, "And Elisha said unto them," the host, whoever the leaders were in that host, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me." Here we go. Elisha's going to be their guide. "Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." Well, they already were talking to the man whom they seek. And so Elisha, he's being rather deceitful here. He says, "Oh, wait a minute. I know who you're after. This is not the place. Follow me, and I'll take you." Now, I don't know how you lead thousands of blind people, but he did it. He did it. And he said, "I'll bring you to the man whom you seek." And then he said, "But he led them to Samaria." Now, this is where I think it gets interesting. Because in verse 20, "And it came to pass that when they come to Samaria," here we go again, eyes open. And Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men." After he had already caused their blindness, now he's saying, "Open their eyes, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the middle of Samaria. Now, think about this. I don't know how long they traveled. I don't know the distance. I probably could have looked it up. But they were blind, and they had to be led by somebody. They didn't know who it was, but it was actually the guy they were after. And he led them into a trap. He led them into a trap. Because the king of Israel was in Samaria. And this is what I like. The king of Israel, no fighting at all. Here you have these thousands and thousands of soldiers who come to kill you, and now they're at your mercy. Think of it. That would be every king's dream, right? "And the king of Israel said unto Elisha," when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" I can just see him now. "Let me at him. I want to get at him. Just give me a second. You know, I want to get at him right now." So the king of Israel was all excited. He was just a twitter about getting in there and doing away with these folks. Because keep in mind, they come to kill him. But here comes the plot twist. This is something that we got to keep in mind. And this is Elisha replying. "And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and thy bow?" In other words, he's saying, you've already captured them. They're prisoners of war. Are you going to now, you're going to kill them because they're helpless? And so what do? "Feed them. You set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Just like when Elisha said to his servant, "We've got more people than they do," they're probably thinking, Elisha's done, he's off his rocker. I don't see no more people. Well, Now you have thousands of people at your mercy, helpless, and they want to kill them and get rid of them. Wouldn't you think that's the way to end a war? Just get rid of your enemy. And then Elisha turned around and said, no, let's give them water and food and let's send them home. You're going to think, what kind of military strategy is that? Here they are. You could end the war today. And Elisha's like, feed them and send them home. I can just imagine the king of Israel. He's probably like, I don't get it. I don't get it. But here you go. This is why it was actually a great strategy. But I'm thankful that the king obeyed Elisha. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. Didn't hurt them. And they went to their master. So the bands of Israel, the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. That's the way he ended the war. By being good to the enemies, especially when they were in the most helpless situation. First of all, let's think this through. They were blind. They were easy pickings to kill and to get rid of them. Like I said, the king of Israel, when he probably saw them, he probably thought, yes, you go, Elisha. I could end this war today by just killing off all my enemies and then taking a victory lap. But Elijah had other plans. God had other plans. He said, no, feed them. Give them food, give them water, and send them home. And I'm sure the king of Israel was thinking, this is crazy. They're going to come right back. But if you were in their hand, let's say you were one of the prisoners, wouldn't you think differently about your mortal enemy if they treated you good and they fed you and then finally just, I mean, you know, in your heart, you know that that man could kill me in a split second, but he didn't. That's called mercy. Mercy. It's called grace. Where have I seen that before? Plenty of places. In fact, we talked about this not too long ago in Romans. Paul had this to say. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I know some people wonder what that last sentence means, but in a lot of places, they scholars believe it means it's a blessing. You pour out a blessing. Because back then, to carry fire around so that you can start another fire for the whole camp, basically you had to carry around coals. And there were people set aside to do that kind of work. They carried around coals so that, because every time an army moved from here to there, you had to start a fire. And so they had, yeah, they had flint rocks and stuff like that, but they also carried coal, hot coal. So maybe it was a blessing. But I often wonder, is that a principle that the Apostle Paul realized that occurred back in hundreds, if not thousands of years ago in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's just amazing as to how we treat our enemies. Most of us, I don't care if you're Christian or not, most of us, our inclination is if somebody's trying to hurt us, we want to hurt them back. But the interesting thing about what Elisha shows us is when the enemy is in a helpless situation and they have no way to fight, I mean, they're just helpless. They're at your mercy. They're at your mercy. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to show mercy? Are you going to show grace? Well, Elisha recommended that to the king of Israel, and it so happened it stopped the war, at least temporarily. It stopped the war from Syria. They quit coming and trying to kill him. And I don't know if the king himself was involved in this. A lot of times kings would send their armies. So the king himself may not have been with that group. It's possible though. But the fact is, the king of Israel had his moment. He could have killed them all. And like I said, he probably, maybe, would have ended the war in that day. Or it maybe would have continued the war. You ever think about that? You see, sometimes when we get won over our enemies, we think it's over. No, not usually. Our enemies usually like to come back and hit us again. But in a New Testament principle may have come from this story of Elijah. Isn't that interesting? I think so. Father, I just appreciate these stories in the Old Testament. I thank you, Lord, for the lessons that you teach us, even in the Old Testament, and how they transport into the New. And so, God, I just pray that we will have the grace and the mercy to show our enemies love and compassion and not be so eager to hurt them back. So, God, I pray that you help us, Lord. Help us to be better in everything we do and to follow you closely. In Jesus' name, amen.